Let's go in-depth on Hawkeye sports with the Des Moines Register. It's time for Hawk Central on 1460 KXNO.
Welcome in to a brand new Hawk Central Radio Hour here on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. I am your host, Chad Lystico, the Iowa Hawkeye sports columnist for the Des Moines Register. We are live tonight, and we would love to hear from you about Iowa's 30-7 win Saturday against Kent State, about the Hawkeyes' continued prominence in the national polls, and about Saturday's upcoming non-conference finale against Colorado State. You can reach our producer and call screener, Eric Zamora, at 515-284-5966. That's 284-5966. He will screen your call, make sure you're worthy of going on the air, and then patch you through to the conversation. It's been a busier and newsier Colorado State week than maybe I expected. We got caught up with Fran McCaffrey on Monday, and we will delve into the highlights of what Iowa's basketball coach said ahead of the September 29th first day of official practice. That's crazy. The basketball practice starts soon. We will get to the five big questions later in this program as well, as the Hawkeyes look to improve to 4-0 on the football field. And there has been some good news and bad news on the injury front for the Hawkeyes that we also will discuss. So, to dive into the conversation, let's welcome my Register colleague, Hawkeyes beat reporter Kennington Smith. Kennington, how you doing?
I'm good. Excited to dive into this conversation and to finally get a chance to experience a home game at Kinnick this Saturday.
That's right. Before Kennington flew off to his latest wedding, he did call yet another shot. He predicted 150-plus rushing yards for Tyler Goodson. A career high was achieved by Tyler. So Kennington just continues his role of predictions. We'll definitely get to his call on the Colorado State game later in tonight's show. I know he's brewing up the exact score for you guys. But let's talk a little bit about Tyler Goodson. I wanted to kind of reflect on what he meant to Iowa's offense. I mean, that's an offense that's been under scrutiny at times. But Tyler Goodson continues to produce. He scores three touchdowns of Iowa's four. Shows that big play explosion. I mean, just think, three of his touchdowns this year have been long runs where he really just turns on the jets. And that's something, I guess, we don't see that often in Hawkeye football. I mean, Ekwem Wadley had that a little bit, but Goodson just seems like he kicks into another gear when he gets out on the sideline.
Right. And the thing about Goodson that was most encouraging this past weekend against Kent State is in the Indiana game, we saw the big playability early on, and then the running game kind of sputtered out a little bit. But statistically, when you looked at it as a whole, it looked like a good day. Iowa State was just a much slower day rushing. But against Kent State, we saw a lot more 5-yard runs, 6-yard runs, 8-yard runs, more chunk plays instead of, one explosive play and then, 2, 3, 4 yard kind of cloud of dust type plays the rest of the way. So it looks like he's starting to pick things up at the right time. Colorado State will be another final tune-up game before we get into the meat of the Big Ten schedule. But to have him going, an all-Big Ten performer from last year, and what we expected to be kind of the focal point of the offense coming into this year, to see him have a career day before they really get into the teeth of their schedule is extremely encouraging, I would think.
Yeah, and he's also catching balls out of the backfield, as we kind of expected, but he's made some nice first downs. I remember one against Iowa State that was a really nice catch and run on a third down that he just kind of made happen by himself. So it's kind of fun to have, the punter and the tight ends and all that stuff if you're a Hawkeye fan, the fullback. But you got to have those skill players, and Tyler Goodson definitely gives Iowa some juice that it really needs right now in the offense. You mentioned all Big Ten. He's got a little bit of some ground, I would say, to make up already. Some running backs in the Big Ten already getting off to really fast starts. Michigan State's Kenneth Walker has 493 yards and 5 TDs, 8.65 per carry. Michigan's Blake Corum, 8.48 per carry, 7 TDs, 407 yards. But and Goodson's numbers, through three games, as much as you may want to knock the offense, he has 307 rushing yards, 4.95 per carry, 5 touchdowns this season. He's really been, he scored 5 of Iowa's 8 touchdowns this fall. So Very impressed with what he's done so far. But I mean, certainly the offense overall has continues to be the talking point. I would say Kennington, it was, again, as usual, kind of the most prominent question asked during Tuesday's news conferences and player interviews. Kirk Ferentz, gave a little optimism in there, but, I think you still have to, as I was preparing for tonight's show, I was looking at the Big Ten stats and, say, hey, where is Iowa kind of ranked in the Big Ten right now? Scroll down. Last in the total yards, last in yards per play at 4.49, and the 8 touchdowns are tied for last among teams that have played 3 games. So, the concerns about the offense, I guess, how valid are they? What would be your concern level right now?
I think at this point, the concern would be at, and this is probably the only facet of the game that we haven't seen in large amounts, is down the field passing. I think that we're pretty confident where the offensive line is right now, especially now that Kyle Schott is back and there's been an emergence of young players, Mason Richmond, Justin Britt, Connor Colby. I think that we understand that the running back room is very strong. With Goodson and Kelly Martin, they have a deeper receiver rotation than normal. It appears that the tight ends are strong as well. I think that the biggest question mark right now or concern would be when it comes time to be in a situation where they're going to have to get some chunk plays through the air or they're going to have to convert long third downs. What exactly is that going to look like? Fortunately, they haven't been in many of those situations, and I think that's just a product of them playing ahead of the chains, which is what you're supposed to do offensively. But I think if there was a question mark or concern that I would have, that would probably be it. I would hope, and we're going to get into this a little bit later in the show, I would hope that they use this opportunity against Colorado State to kind of experiment with that. But I think that's kind of where the concerns lie. I feel like we say this every week. It's just more of a product of how these games are being played, yeah. That they don't have to necessarily do these things to win, but you understand that at some point you will have to do them to win. So for me, it's not so much what we have seen that's a concern, it's what we haven't seen.
And speaking of concerns, we've got our favorite caller, Anthony, on line one. He has concerns he wants to talk about regarding the upcoming opponent and the backup running back. Anthony, how are you doing?
Well, pretty good, Chad. How you guys doing this evening?
We're doing great. Thanks for calling, man. What do you got on your mind?
First question I have for you, Chad. Colorado State, how good they are, and what do we know about them? And the second question is, you guys mentioned Kelly Martin. It seems to me that he has some issues on ball security and everything the last couple of games. He has some fumbles the last couple of games against Iowa State, Indiana. I don't know how he did against Kent State, but one thing I want to know is what can Ivory Kelly Martin needs to do better on his ball handling when he touches the football. Hey, guys, I'll hang up and listen, and go Hawks. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Anthony, very much. We will definitely be delving into this Colorado State matchup throughout the program. I will touch on Ivory Kelly Martin here, then throw it to Kennington. I did write a column that posted online today. It'll be in Thursday's Register about Kelly Martin and what he kind of means to the program. And I won't get into it a ton here, but safe to say that he has had a strong impact in terms of leading the locker room out of the June 2020 turmoil with the racial disparities, and he's become a leader on that team, and you can just listen to the other guys talk about him, and you listen to Kirk Ferentz talk about him. They believe in Ivory Kelly Martin. Kirk Ferentz said this week, and I agree. Both fumbles against Kent State were tough hits. I mean, helmet on the football for one. What Ferentz called like a car collision type collision for his second fumble. Now, of course, that can't happen. I mean, that's ball security, very important to the Hawkeyes winning and losing. But these weren't careless turnovers. They were tough turnovers, and they have his back, and he's going to be out there again. Ivory Kelly Martin says, in fact, he will be you know, he has been assured that he's going to be a part of the game plan on Saturday. So he is, you know, locked and loaded for that. Eric?
Yeah, and to get back to Anthony's point, I wouldn't put too much weight into it simply because you're talking about a small sample size. I know that fans immediately want to say, well, it happened multiple times. Okay, but if he'd gone, you know, 2 or 3 years and never fumbled the ball and then it happened, would you still say it's a problem? Or would you say, oh, that's kind of an anomaly? I would say that for Ivory Kelly Martin to get right, as cliche as it sounds, the most important thing is just having the confidence. And I think that the fact that the Hawkeyes coaching staff and players are telling him, hey, we've got your back. We know you're a good football player. We know you're not going to do it again. That alone is going to be enough where he just gets back in the saddle, gets a few handoffs, and ends up, you know, handing the ball back to the official after the play is dead. I think that's all he needs to do to get right.
Yeah, and I'm kind of guilty of this, too, as I kind of count the Iowa State fumble against him, even though it wasn't even a fumble. You know, I think I maybe thought of that, too, when I saw his two fumbles the other day. But it wasn't a fumble at Iowa State. And so, yeah, he has put the ball on the ground 4 times this season, lost 2. But, you know, no doubt, Kennington, the coaches have his back. What I wanted to throw it to you was on Anthony's question. Let's touch on Colorado State just a little bit here. Any just overall thoughts, because we're going to dive into more specifics later in the program, but overall thoughts on this Colorado State team?
Just initially, they offensively look a lot closer to a Big Ten team than maybe the last few teams that Iowa has played, which will be a different challenge for them defensively. You know, obviously tight end position, they have Trey McBride, who is going to be an NFL prospect who will present some problems for Iowa's defense. I think past that, and we just talked about this with Tyler Goodson, and we just touched on Ivory Kelly Martin. Colorado State only allowed 28 rushing yards last week against Toledo, who took Notre Dame to the brink the week before. So I don't know how much stock fans put into kind of transitive, you know, games. This team played this team close, so that means this might happen. But 28 yards on 21 carries is impressive no matter who you play at the Division I level. So will be a test for Tyler Goodson off a career day and for Ivory Kelly Martin in terms of ball security to kind of test where they're at against this Colorado State defense.
You're listening to Hawk Central from the Des Moines Register and KXNO. I am Chad Lystico talking Iowa football with Kennington Smith. And we of course, are airing in Des Moines. But this is, you know, this has become a national show. We get calls from all over the country of people streaming the program. We've got one here, Dean from Los Angeles. You don't get a ton of Pacific time zone calls. We get one tonight. Appreciate you calling, Dean.
Yeah, thanks, you guys. I had just mentioned that the defense has scored 3 games in a row. That's got to be close to some kind of record, I would think. I haven't heard the subject brought up.
Yeah, it's a great point, Dean. And Iowa and Georgia, Kennington's Georgia Bulldogs, are the only teams in the country, Dean, that have scored on defense in every game this year. So we'll see if the Hawkeyes can make it 4 games in a row. Fun fact that I've already written my Saturday column, but a fun fact I pointed out in there, the defense has scored 3 touchdowns this year for the Hawkeyes and given up 3 touchdowns. So, you know, that's another little thing to watch this Saturday against the Rams. Good observation, man.
I think it's going to be a special year.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you for calling. All right, we got one more call here. Justin from Urbandale, if we want to bring him in. Justin seems, I will let him speak for himself, but I think he also wants to talk about the offense. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, hey, Chad. First off, great article on Ivy Kelly Martin. Was that you or is that Kennington?
Yeah, I did write that, but I appreciate okay. that. Kennington gave me a nice shout-out on Twitter, though, so team effort.
Hey, and I'll tell you what, I really am liking Kennington's take on things, being a guy who's coming in who doesn't, you know, hasn't been following the Hawkeyes for as long as us fans or as long as you have covering them. I think he's really got the pulse of the team, and I'm really enjoying his articles as well. I was just going to say, I don't think that we really have anything to worry about. You know, when we talked about Petrus and his production, you know, number one, obviously it's taking care of the football and he's done that. Offensively, Iowa hasn't really had to do anything. And when they have needed something, I think they've come through and put drives together. They had that really great drive against Iowa State. Didn't really need to do anything after that. They had that, you know, that 20 play or whatever, that, you know, that pretty much length of the field drive against
Kirk Ferentz era record.
Yeah, 20 plays. Yeah, didn't really need to do anything much more after that either. And, you know, look at the offensive production. I mean, 27 points against Iowa State, 30 points against Kent State, and for some reason the Indiana game is not coming up here on my phone.
34.
34 points against Indiana. So, I'm pretty happy with that. As long as the defense and the special teams, my gosh, we cannot say enough about what Torrey Taylor has done to influence these football games. Before, you know, field position is a huge thing with Kirk Ferentz, and you know, I really feel like it doesn't matter where Iowa, you know, goes three and out. You know, they can go three and out on their own 20-yard line. I have a feeling the ball is going to end up on the other side, you know, within, you know, at least within the 20.
Yeah.
Maybe within the 10.
We've seen it happen a bunch already.
That right there makes it easier for the defense to make those plays, and in turn makes it easier on the offense not to have to take chances with the ball and, you know, do stupid things. So they haven't had to do anything. And I feel like if they need to, they'll be able to come through. So looking forward to a great season.
Appreciate it, Justin. Thanks for the call. I'm going to go through some numbers here after you hang up that might be of more interest to you. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. So here's what I've got for numbers that maybe just kind of ease some concerns, and then I'll throw it to Kennington. Appreciate the kind words about Kennington. I told Kennington this morning, actually. I've been really impressed at how he has gained a quick mastery of the beat. He's really plugged into this team, and it's fun for me to hear it too, as you know, he comes in a little bit of as an outsider. So when looking at Iowa's offense, again, I read off the numbers, last in the Big Ten in several categories, but again, kind of to Eric's point about Ivory Kelly Martin's fumbles, we are dealing with a small sample size, as Kennington said, two games where the score was out of hand, you know, by halftime, or at least where the offense didn't want to make a mistake. So what I did coming into tonight's show is I peeled off the first half of the Indiana game and the first half of the Iowa State game, combined that into one game, because the second half of both of those games, yes, the offensive numbers were anemic, but it was basically handoff, 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 punt 60 yards. I mean, that was basically the second half strategy, and then let the defense score. So if you peel those off and add the Kent State game, here's what you get for two game totals, all right? You get 75 rushing attempts for 350 rushing yards. You get 44 of 69 passing for 409 yards. That gives you a total of 759. That's not a bad average, especially considering Iowa State has the top-ranked defense in the country right now. And you're still at, quote-unquote, just 5.27 yards per play, but that would be ninth in the Big Ten and not 14th. So that's more in line of what Iowa is historically. That's more in line of what I feel like this offense is, and I do feel like there's an upside to this offense. Kennington, what do you think?
I agree with what you just said. I just did the math. 44 for 69 is, you know, 60, close to 64%, which would be a huge upgrade from completion percentage last year. I don't know if I would go as far as to say there is nothing to worry about just because we just haven't seen it yet. I agree with everything that was said up until then. I think the overarching question here is this offense good enough to take this team to Indianapolis, compete for a Big Ten championship? And I believe the answer to that is yes. I think that it's just a matter of showing just a little bit more in a few different areas, you know, that we just haven't seen yet. Once we see it, get a chance to evaluate it, then I think we'll have a much more holistic view. But, I mean, you really can't ask the offense to do too much more than what they've done so far. And I understand that at times it can be frustrating. You want to throw these deep passes. You want to see wide receivers running wide open. You want to, you know, see a more explosive, you know, maybe more exciting type of offense, but you play to win the game, and they've won every game. They're 3-0. The offense hasn't, to this point, put the team in a position to really, you know, have them backed up against the wall, you know, a bad turnover or anything like that. They've capitalized on everything that the defense has done. So this is just a team game, and this kind of goes back to when I first got the job, saying that the last six games of last season, the way that Iowa won those games is a recipe for success. You need to have a playmaking defense. You need to have special teams that can flip field positions, and you need to have an offense that is going to be able to take advantage of that and play complementary football. And that's what we've seen in the first three games of this season. So it's really just they're picking up from the momentum from last year, which we've talked about extensively through the summer and the fall, is how can they hone in on the success from last year and carry it over into this year. And we have seen, you know, that really executed perfectly thus far.
You play to win the game.
I wasn't expecting that. Nicely done, Eric.
100%. And thank you so much for the kind words. Let me throw that out there as well. You know, obviously, I talk to Chad just about every day. And my big thing is I'm always talking about wanting to get better and wanting to provide some insight that I think fans would be interested in. So, you know, to hear that positive affirmation from somebody who's not Chad, which I appreciate Chad's kind of work also, but it is nice to hear it from somebody from the outside looking in. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Justin. We got time for one more call before we hit our first break. And Chris from West Des Moines is weighing in on the program. Chris, welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Just to start off, I'm glad we have Colorado State this week. I'd like to see one more game, especially for the offense. As far as the defense goes, this last week was the first, like, the sack. We got the sack that we didn't, you know, the first 2 weeks were a lot of quarterback pressures, which led to the interceptions and turnovers. This week, the defensive line was getting there. You know, I saw they had seven sacks against Kent State. You know, so the defense is coming together to be maybe the most complete unit I've seen, you know, in 20 some odd years watching the Hawks. And as far as the offense goes, Ivory Kelly Martin, that second fumble, I'm glad Kirk said something about it, because I thought there was at least three personal fouls.
He got hit three times.
Murdered. And one helmet to helmet where when he was defenseless on the ground and the ball was already out.
Yeah, that's a fair point, Chris.
So I wasn't too worried about those fumbles. I figured Kirk was going to pull him out of the game just because that's who Kirk is, but I don't see him going away from it. And Petrus, outside of the Charlie Jones touchdown against Iowa State, he finally, against Kent State, threw what I would consider Big Ten quarterback pass. You know, either
yeah, it's 25 for 36, 69%.
You know, and he hasn't, and he seemed to have a little bit better command of, you know, not only, you know, field position and where receivers were open and where they weren't, and a better presence, but not to the level that I'm comfortable going right in, like if we were playing a Big Ten opponent again this week. I'd like to see him, you know, make those throws for one more week. You know, let Goodson do, hopefully, you know, do what he does, and hope, and finally get Tracy into the game. You know, they tried to work him on some jailbreak screens, which were nice. There seemed to be some opportunities in both the Indiana, but especially the Iowa State game, where he had his man beat and Petrus just missed the read or took the sack or threw it out of bounds. So, you know, Tracy seems to be that guy that can kind of take the top off. And one more week, you know, seeing Petrus throw Big Ten Division One throws would put me at ease going into, you know, going into a schedule where I think we do have an opportunity to get, you know, at least be in the mention room when the playoff is coming about. So
thank you, Chris. Really appreciate it. We will talk about this Colorado State matchup next when Kennington and I get into five big questions. We will have more Hawkeye football talk here on 1460 KXNO and now on 106.3 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Hawkeyes. It's Hawk Central with the Des Moines Register on 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to Hawk Central Radio here on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. I am your host, Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register. I write about the Iowa Hawkeyes for a living, and so does Kennington Smith. He joins me now as we look forward to Saturday's game versus 1-2 Colorado State. Kickoff is at 2:35 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. Tim Brando and Spencer Tillman on the call. Not necessarily my favorite crew, but we'll go with them. 4,000 tickets or so available at Kinnick. So a mostly full house on Saturday. All right, Kennington, with no further ado, let's dive into five big questions. Number one, how big a deal is Iowa's good health to date? We talked about this a little bit off the air yesterday. Hawkeyes have been really healthy this year. Got a little bit of injury news today, or yesterday, and a little bit today. Defensive end Ethan Herkett, he's going to be out a while with a right knee injury. He was kind of in that nine-man defensive line rotation, but he wasn't on the two deep, but he was making some nice contributions for sure, and he'll be missed. But at the same time, Iowa's going to soon be getting back Logan Jones, defensive tackle, who injured his knee back in April. He was going to be a starter, I think, on the D-line, and really interested to see if he can maybe get some snaps on Saturday. But overall, Kennington, just how big of a storyline is it that everyone in Iowa's two deep is healthy?
I think it's a huge deal. And, you know, you can look across the country, and I don't have, you know, an injury report for every top team, but injuries are key injuries are happening. I know for Clemson, for example, they're starting to need tackles off of the year. I could speak for Georgia specifically. We're down several starters on offense and on defense. So to be fully healthy at this point in the year is huge. You know, as the old saying goes, the best ability is availability. Mm-hmm. And for this Hawkeyes team to be able to have success, they're going to need all hands on deck. So glad that they're healthy. I'm glad that there are positions where there is some depth. So, you know, if somebody unfortunately does go down, they should be able to plug those holes relatively quickly, depending on what position we're talking about. But it can never be understated how important it is to stay healthy throughout the season.
Yeah, no question. And that week one scare a little bit with Tyler Linderbaum laying on the ground was something that brought that into my mind, because, you know, a key to a special season oftentimes is staying healthy. I mean, I remember my Chicago Bears back in 2018, you know, went 12-4, went to the playoffs. Really didn't have that great of a team, but they, you know, the first string stayed healthy almost all year. And, you know, they got the three seed in the playoffs and, you know, had a really good season. And then they haven't had really much health since. But that's important. And it made me think of it, too, because I remember the last spring practice, the spring game, May 1st, Iowa had 20-plus guys out with injuries, a lot of defensive linemen, a lot of offensive linemen, a lot of defensive backs. Now, some of it was precautionary, but Kirk Ferentz even made a point to talk about it afterward. There was just kind of a bad luck spring with injuries. So the fact that they have stayed pretty healthy is a good sign. It's a good sign for their conditioning, good sign for the readiness for this week. And obviously, we always want all players to stay healthy and hope that continues. Number two, which Colorado State team shows up on Saturday? The Rams are coming off a 22-6 win at Toledo, which is extremely impressive. But they also lost by 19 to South Dakota State, which, as we know, it's a good FCS program. Iowa actually opens the season next week with the Jackrabbits. But still, to lose at 19 at home to an FCS team is notable. They just seem to be all over the board, Kennington. Which team do you think shows up Saturday?
I think it would probably be somewhat in the middle. I think two embarrassing losses going into this third game. We're kind of at this point where when you're 0-2, that 0-3 mark is kind of like a season is about to spiral out of control versus where you're 1-2, you might be able to right the ship. So I think that Toledo game was more of kind of like an all-out effort to try to preserve what's left of the season. I think that they'll regress back to the mean somewhat. I don't think it'll be completely as bad as the first two games. I think they're having some confidence after shutting down Toledo and getting a big win. So somewhere, you know, in the middle, I don't think that they will present as big of a challenge as Kent State did, though.
Yeah, it's another one of those interesting teams, though. Like it's like Iowa can't quite just get that push, that extreme pushover opponent. There's just not one on the schedule this year. I'm just looking at the Colorado State game notes as we speak, and they brought back. Now, granted, there was a COVID shortened year, and they only got I think four games in last year, but they bring back all but one starter from 2020. So this is another veteran team. I guess that's maybe the common theme in college football. But they have 33 seniors, fifth year or beyond, on this roster. So a very, very veteran team. One that comes in with a physical brand of football, as you mentioned a little bit earlier. So it's certainly not going to be they're not going to necessarily be facing a bunch of rookies out there. They're going to be facing experienced players. Who knows? Moving the ball might be a little tough again, but we will find out. I do think Iowa has the talent edge, and I will lean towards I don't want to give away my prediction too much, but I'll kind of lean towards maybe the South Dakota State version. Maybe they feel a little bit good after their road win last week. So number three on our five big questions. This might be my favorite of the five. Most interesting matchup, Trey McBride, Colorado State's All-American first-round NFL draft pick tight end, versus Justin Jacobs of Iowa, or the punters, Torrey Taylor versus Ryan Stonehouse. Ryan Stonehouse is the active career leader in punting average in college football. So Torrey Taylor may have met his punting match. So what? Which one are you more excited to watch on Saturday?
This is a tough one, and this is one that I have gone back and forth with several times, but I have to go with the punter matchup. I think.
Oh, yes! I can't believe you did that. That's awesome.
I think that's just so intriguing. It's going to be so fun to watch for so many reasons. Just one, just strictly punting to see the ball, you know, flip the field back and forth. But from Iowa's side, if you know they're able to get pinned back deep, that will be an opportunity for them to try to walk a team down the field. There could be a situation where Torrey Taylor pins Colorado State deep. The defense gets a stop and sets Iowa's offense up in favorable field position to score. So I think that there are just a lot of opportunities for the offense, a lot of situational football that can take place that hinges on the punters. And you don't necessarily see that too often. So I'm going to have to go with the battle of the punters in this one.
Yeah, Kennington told me he's going to show up early in the press box on Saturday so he can kind of stream some of the Georgia game, which is earlier. And while you're doing that, you can watch the pregame punts. So it's like you get more than 3 hours of punting if you really want. Obviously, you know, the goal in these questions is to talk about the matchup more. So I'll go to the Justin Jacobs versus Trey McBride matchup. We got to talk to Justin yesterday. He's obviously been a revelation for the Hawkeyes this year, just at that outside linebacker position. And he just gives Iowa such a good weapon to defend a tight end. We saw him play against Charlie Kolar of Iowa State, a preseason All-American at tight end, and do a very, very good job in that one. McBride, this stat is unbelievable. He had 109 of Colorado State's 110 receiving yards at Toledo. So they really are kind of a one-man offense. Eric Zamora.
Okay, so I get the premise of the question, and I'll be honest, I am a defense and special teams guy. I appreciate flipping the field. I have to disagree with Kennington here, simply because, at least with McBride and Jacobs, they'll actually get to go mano a mano. Like, they had some opportunity where Taylor and Stonehouse could both be on the field and then had to, like, try to punt while the other one tried to block it or something, that would be one thing. But I think I have to go with it simply because you'll get to see, you know, sweat on sweat and hit on hit, as opposed to, again, I love me good punters who can flip the field, but I don't know that that's the matchup that I really looking forward to on Saturday.
I know. It's still fun, though. And with the Torrey Taylor punting is winning shirts now available at Ray Gun, there's a free plug for you. You know, this is a great week to get one down there. And the other thing I would say is, if you're a Hawkeye fan, how about a week where maybe you don't have the punter out there that much? Maybe the offense just scores constantly. All right, good stuff. Thanks for weighing in on that. Eric, you are listening to Hawk Central from the Des Moines Register and KXNO. I'm Chad Lystico. here with Kennington Smith, and we are previewing Iowa-Colorado State with five big questions. We've been through three of them. Let's get to the final two. We're going to zero in on the Hawkeyes here side of things. Kennington, what position group has your greatest interest on Saturday?
I think that it's going to have to be the wide receivers. They Same. Have a deeper rotation than normal, which we discussed, you know, off the air, some on the air. You know, we saw Reganey and Tracy Jr. get a little bit more involved this past week. They had multiple catches, but Jackson Redder had a big catch. Obviously, Charlie Jones has come on. We saw Arlen Bruce make a catch. Keegan Johnson is also in the mix as well. So I'm interested to see this rotation, see them continue to grow, see how much more involvement they'll have in the offense after it seemed like last week was a step in the right direction for the group. That was a really big talking point. Last week, we talked to Coach Copeland last week as well, and he was able to share some insight. So we saw a little bit of that manifest itself last Saturday, so I'm very interested to see if they can kind of continue this momentum against Colorado State.
Yeah, and I'll kind of echo something that Kennington and I talked about on our subscriber podcast yesterday at HawkCenter.com. The running back situation. This would not be a bad week if you can get it done, where maybe Tyler Goodson is in that dozen carries instead of the 20-plus type carries. Maybe save his legs a little bit, if you can, for Maryland, for Penn State next week. So wouldn't mind seeing, you know, Ivory Kelly Martin carry, 12 to 15 times and secure the football, and maybe a little more Gavin Williams and maybe even LaShawn Williams. I liked what I saw from those guys in the spring and at the August Kids Day, and so far so good in the season. Also the D-line, you know, what does that look like without Ethan Herkett? We talked to assistant D-line coach Jay Neiman this afternoon, and Neiman kind of indicated that, hey, we could slide Lucas Van Ness out to defensive end, especially if Logan Jones might be coming back inside to defensive tackle, and Van Ness might be one of those guys he's been really effective so far inside, but maybe he can flex out to defensive end and help out too. So I'm curious to see how they handle that going into Big Ten play. All right, man. Number five, final question in five big questions. Just an easy one here. What do you need to see from this team Saturday going into the return, I guess, to Big Ten play at Maryland for a Friday night showdown, you know, 6 days after this one ends?
This coincides with my last answer, but just more explosive plays or more deep ball passing. I think that this would be the week to lend itself to being a little bit riskier. Peaches threw a lot of passes last week, and a lot of them were underneath that probably could have been by design, because we talked at length about what Kent State does in the secondary and how turnover prone they are and how dangerous their cornerbacks are. So maybe this is a week where they kind of let loose a little bit. He has shown through his interceptionless streak that you touched on in a piece earlier this week that he is capable of taking care of the ball. So I would like to see, you know, that aspect of the playbook open up a little bit more, and, you know, see these receivers try for a little bit more deep passes. We saw that with Reganey in the fourth quarter, I believe it was, where he caught a long one. So seeing more of that would be encouraging to me, and that's what I would hope to see on Saturday.
Yeah, I'll go a little bit different direction. That's all. I mean, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I would say, you know, I'm this Indiana win in week one, Iowa got a lot of credit for that win, and as they should have. They beat them by 28 points. But I just have a feeling, just kind of watching this Indiana team as the season goes on, I'm not sure if Indiana's going to win a ton of games this year, and so I don't know if the credit on that one might go run out at some point among the you know, the pundits and people that want to criticize the Hawkeyes. So I guess I just kind of would like to see, you know, from a Hawkeyes perspective, you know, can this team kind of put a team away again? You know, I think the last touchdown against Kent State was important for that conversation. You know, a lot of people around the country probably didn't watch the game. They saw Iowa took care of business against a good MAC team by 23. Hawkeyes stay at 5 in the AP poll, 6 in coaches. I think you just want to kind of continue that narrative. You've got a really good team, and can continue to kind of punish teams and just not make it a game. Don't let it even get close to being in danger. So I guess that's what I would like to see out of the Hawkeyes. And I will throw in my weekly plug for I want to see Alex Padilla get some real snaps. Maybe this is the week. Maybe. He got a couple handoffs last week, but, you know, be nice to see him get 5 to 8 passes, you know, like in the third, fourth quarter. So that would be complete the non-conference season in a good way. All right. There was some time this week to hear from Iowa basketball coach Fran McCaffrey as well. When Kennington and I come back, we will discuss that and provide our Iowa-Colorado State predictions. You're listening to Hawk Central on 1460 KXNO and now on 106.3 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Hawkeyes. It's Hawk Central with the Des Moines Register on 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to Hawk Central. I am Chad Lystico with Kennington Smith of the Des Moines Register. If you missed some of tonight's show, make sure to catch the podcast at hawkcentral.com, KXNO, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter as well. Kennington at SkinnyKenny _, and I'm just at Chad Lystico, LEISTIKOW. All right, Kennington, you wrote up a piece Monday. We both were on the call with Iowa basketball coach Fran McCaffrey. I know you're kind of new to the beat, but it's good to kind of let you stretch your legs in there and kind of figure out what's what. What was your biggest takeaway from what Fran McCaffrey had to say the other day?
I think that, and even this goes back to the summertime, the big question is, how is Iowa planning to replace last year's firepower? Obviously, Garza and Wieskamp are off to the NBA draft. They had several other players enter into the transfer portal. So just to get an update on how McCaffrey feels about this year's depth, and he came out and said that, you know, this is probably one of the deeper teams that he's had at Iowa, which I was surprised to hear. But, you know, looking up and down the roster, and he said this, there is just a lot of players who he has confidence in and he knows are good basketball players. So that was probably the biggest thing that stuck out to me. He said that Keegan Murray, who is a projected first-round pick on several NBA draft boards, said that he will have the green light. And from what I understand about Iowa basketball, the system kind of flows through the best player, and we are projecting that to be Keegan Murray this year. So to know that he has progressed enough to the point where he's going to be a focal point offensively, and we hope turns into one of the elite two-way players in the country, to hear that he's on that right track, it is encouraging. The point guard situation with Joe Toussaint, Aaron Ulis, Austin Ash seems to be going well. They seem to be playing well off of Jordan Bohannon and that backcourt. So, you know, he was encouraged by what he saw. He, you know, said that there was some strategy to kind of the easier games at the beginning of the season where we'll get to see this team in person and get a feel for what the lineups and the rotations look like. But overall, it was good to get a chance to meet him so he could see my face and I could see his. But my biggest takeaway is that he's pretty excited about the depth of the team. It's not big in star power and name yet, but, you know, maybe those stars could develop throughout the year, which is what I'm sure he's hoping for.
Yeah, that's going to be a younger and more interesting team, I think. Not more interesting, but, like, you know, it's not going to be top 10. But, yeah, it's a team that he can kind of mold and shape, and maybe it'll be just a different style of team. They're not going to have that true five, except for maybe Josh Ogundele, but I think he's probably in a limited role this year. A couple things that stood out to me. Connor McCaffrey had double hip surgery in the spring. He is back and no limitations. He's also practicing in baseball. So, you know, two brand new hips. Connor's ready to roll here as a fifth-year senior in both sports. And Patrick McCaffrey was the other guy you kind of mentioned, and I agree with him. Patrick can fill up the nets. He could be another one of their top scorers along with Jordan Bohannon. Those are some of the things. Patrick also dealing with a sprained ankle right now that's kind of been lingering. But it's early. It's September. We'll talk more about hoops in a couple months. Let's talk some Big Ten football. I mean, the Hawkeyes are ranked higher than any other Big Ten team. And now Penn State's closing, and there's some other teams that can make up some ground this week. Interesting games on the schedule once again. There are actually three Big Ten versus Big Ten matchups in Rutgers, Michigan, Illinois, Purdue, and Nebraska, Michigan State. That's an interesting one, considering the Spartans are 3-0 in East Lansing. But obviously, I'm going to go Kennington with Notre Dame versus Wisconsin. I think that's one of those games. You know, if you're an Iowa fan, you know, I think you want Wisconsin to win that and just sort of push Notre Dame out of the playoff picture, and maybe just kind of give the Big Ten West a little more clout going forward. What do you like, or what are you looking for this weekend in the Big Ten outside of Iowa?
There's a lot of interesting matchups. I'm going to go with a team who should win pretty handily, but one that I admitted this on the Subscriber podcast that I have been openly disrespecting throughout the year, and I probably shouldn't have, and that would be Maryland, who is also 3-0, and they're playing Kent State, who Iowa just played. So this is kind of twofold. One, to see how they play against Kent State to compare to Iowa, and then for me to just get another week of getting a feel for Maryland's team ahead of next week, which we know is going to be a monster matchup on Friday night.
Yeah, it's I don't even know what to expect from that Kent State team. I don't know if they're beaten up to a pulp by Texas A&M and now Iowa, two physical teams, or if they're gonna stretch their legs against a defense that might not be quite as tough, with that high, fast-paced offense. I too am kind of interested in that game, but as far as the Wisconsin game goes, that's in Soldier Field. I think Notre Dame's a fraud. I think Wisconsin rolls in this one and gets it together, especially after that early season loss to Penn State. They should have won that game. So I got the Badgers winning big in that one. And then Rutgers, Michigan. How about that? 3-0 teams. That'll be interesting to see if the Wolverines are for real as well.
Right. It's we talked about this on the Subscriber Pod. The Big Ten is tough this year, and it is definitely making a very strong case for best conference in college football. I believe they have 5 ranked teams right now. There are 5 undefeated teams in the Big Ten East at the moment. So the conference top to bottom looks incredibly strong. We hear coaches and players say every week is important. We treat every game like it's, the biggest game of the year. It sounds cliche, and that may not be what we want to hear. But looking at the Big Ten landscape this year, it truly is like that, and you can't take anybody lightly because, on any given day, as we've seen, in the first 3 weeks, the Big Ten can get a win against almost anybody.
One more storyline I'm watching this week before we get into predictions, just Iowa's defense. Their last 4 games, 7 points against Wisconsin, 6 points against Indiana, 17 against Iowa State, and 7 against Kent State. That's a pretty good streak this Iowa defense is on. That's less than 10 points per game. I think they're leading the country in scoring defense. If not, they're right up there. They're definitely leading the Big Ten. So we'll see if they can score again. All right, Kennington, I will throw it to you first on predictions. We're also going to loop Eric Zamora into this week's fold. But, Kennington, I just want to hear your prediction because I already know that's a lock, and then if we run out of time on mine, no one cares. So go ahead.
I'm going to go with Iowa getting the win 38-3. So that would be the lowest defensive output points-wise this season for the defense offensively. And when I say these predictions, I'm not saying these to get a reaction. I truly believe that these things are going to happen. He almost did this last week. He came 1 yard short when Rigetti got caught at the 1. But I think this would be the first multi-touchdown game for Spencer Petras this year against Colorado State.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. Now, to be fair to Spencer, his 154 pass streak without an interception, he does have 7 TD passes in that span. But yes, he only has 2 TD passes this year, 1 to Jones and 1 to Laporta. But 38-3, that's a bold prediction for the defense. Does the defense score?
Ooh, I'm gonna say no defense this week. I think it'll be all offense.
But Georgia's defense does, and they've become the only team that has scored every game. Okay, Eric Zamora, we want to loop you in on the predictions here too, and I appreciate your wisdom on this as well. Give us the score, man.
Well, it's been pretty consistent. The Hawks have been scoring about 30 each game, and Colorado State's been scoring about 21, 22 points each game, but they haven't taken on a defense like this. I agree with Kennington. I think it's going to be a big score. I've got it 37-6, maybe a couple of field goals that they're able to squeak out. But I think that this is one that if you're not really, really following the Hawkeyes, you might be kind of tuning out by halftime.
All right, thanks, Eric. Appreciate that very much. I've got the Hawkeyes covering as well. I got the Hawkeyes winning 40-13. They get to 40 this week, a 40 spot. Everyone's going to be happy about the offense. Spencer Petras is going to have a good day. I do predict, though, that he throws an interception. Just a, you know, just a feeling he's throwing an interception. So, but I got Colorado, I got him throwing 13 points on the board. Anyway, catch us next week, 6 to 7 on KXNO, 1460 AM.